We're going to turn to John's Gospel, chapter 15. With our Bibles open, let us just seek the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the opportunity to gather around Thy Word. We pray that Thou wilt come Thyself, minister through us, speak to our hearts. Thou knowest, Lord, our need better than we know it ourselves. And so we would pray that Thou wilt visit us now, Lord, in Thy Word. We ask Thee for the help of the Holy Spirit. We pray that Thou wilt work. We ask Thee in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to look this afternoon at a very simple challenge of the Lord Jesus Christ, which He brings to His disciples there at the close of verse 5. He says, "For without Me, ye can do nothing." And the simple challenge here in this familiar text concerns the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ among us every day. If the Lord is not with you today, then it is very clear from this short text that you can achieve nothing today or any day. This comes with a great challenge to us all, and especially to the disciples at this time, because the Lord Jesus Christ will soon leave them. He will soon go to Calvary. He will soon go back to heaven to sit at His Father's right hand. Chapter 14 and verse 28, He says, "I go unto the Father." And so the disciples will soon be without the Lord. He will cease to be with them in body. But thank God, the Lord Jesus Christ will continue to be with them in the Spirit. Yes, the Lord says to His disciples at this time, "I am leaving you. I go to My Father. My bodily presence will soon be gone, but I will come to you in another form, and you shall know My spiritual presence among you." Chapter 14 and verse 16, He says, "I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever." And so the Lord Jesus Christ will be with His disciples after all. We can always have His presence with us. He is always with us by His Spirit. That is His promise, that He may abide with you forever. We need the Lord. We need His spiritual presence among us all of the time. "Without Me," He says, "you can do nothing." And therefore it comes with a challenge to us all, and especially to those who are careless, not to live in this world without the Lord. The Lord often uses simple pictures to teach us profound spiritual lessons. And in this passage of Scripture, He uses a simple picture of a tree. "I am the vine," He says. "Ye are the branches." And He uses this picture to teach us a number of lessons concerning our position in Christ. That without Him we can do nothing. And it's important for us, therefore, this morning to think about what He has to say in these words, in our text. That without Me, you can do nothing. And with the thought that we have here in the first place is the thought of no Christ in our lives. This is an awful thought. To think of no Christ in your life, and yet this is the very thought here in our text when he says to his disciples, Without me, you can do nothing. Without Christ in your life, no Christ in your life. What an awful thought to have no Christ in your life. The world is, of course, without Christ, and we've often thought upon this, believer. The world without Christ. They're without Christ in the sense of having no union with Him. They're not joined to Him. They're not in Christ. And He is not in their lives. And we have a picture of this in the verse 6. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Here we have branches lying on the ground. In what sense are they without the tree? They are not joined to the tree. They're just lying on the ground. They're rotten. They're not doing anything. They're not bearing any fruit. They're not joined to the tree. And soon they will be gathered, and soon they will be thrown into the fire, and soon they will be burned. And the Lord Jesus Christ is giving us here an example of those without Christ in the sense of having no union with Him, not joined to Him, apart from Him. What such is the awful condition and the awful end of every worldly man that dares to live without Christ. I wonder this morning, is that a picture of you? Am I describing someone in this meeting this morning without Christ? You're not joined to Christ. You're not in Christ. There's no union with Christ by faith. There's no time for Christ in your life. You're in a lost and you're in a worsening condition. You're not doing anything for Christ. You're just sinning your soul every day. You're just adding sin to sin. Your condition is worsening. You're soon to be gathered. You're soon to be thrown into the fire. You're soon to be burned. And that is an awful thought, to be without Christ. Not to be united to Him. Not to be joined to Him. And to be lost. And to be worsening. And to be heading toward hell. And then there is the sense in which the Christian is without Christ. Terrible as it may sound, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to His disciples, and He urges upon them the challenge of this text. Without me, you can do nothing. Don't go on without me. There is union, but there's no communion. They are in Christ, but they are not drawing from Christ all that they find in Christ. They're like a branch joined to the tree, but not drawing from its nourishment, not producing any fruit. And it's possible to be joined to the tree and yet not to be drawing what you need in order to produce You remember the time the Lord approached that fig tree in Mark chapter 11, and he hoped to find fruit upon it. He saw the leaves, but when he came, he found no fruit upon it. There was no fruit on the branches. And some believers are like this. Yes, they're in Christ, but they're not drawing from him. They're not producing any fruit. Their lives are without Christ. There is no communion with Christ. In that sense, they're without him. They're not abiding in him. They're not abiding in his word. They are not abiding in the place of prayer. They are not in the closet. They are not in the house of God. We can see this in this chapter when Christ speaks of his disciples abiding in him in verse 7. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, and ye shall ask what you will. And here we have the thought of those who are abiding in Christ, who are in communion with Christ. They are in a speaking relationship with Christ because his words abide in them, and they go on to ask of him. There's fellowship, there's communion, there's speaking terms between Christ and the believer. They are in his word, and they are in prayer. God is speaking to them, and they are speaking to God. There is a speaking relationship here. For those who abide in Christ, to be with him is to abide in him, to abide in his word, and to abide in prayer. To be in a speaking relationship day after day. If we are in communion with Christ, we will be drawing from his word and prayer all that we need to grow in grace. But the sad thing is this. This can be lost. This sense can be lost. This life can be lost in the life of the believer, and they can be without him in the sense of having no communion with him. They're not prayerfully abiding in his word, and practically speaking, there is no Christ in their lives. It is as if Christ does not exist, and they go on and they go on day after day without him, in this sense, having no communion with him, not drawing from him, not producing anything for him. There's no sense of his presence, no sense of his comfort, his guidance, his strength, and his blessing in their lives every day. They are without him, in the sense of having no communion with him. Some can be too busy, like Martha. Martha was busy. And there's nothing wrong with being busy. We must provide for our home. But Martha, she was too busy. We can be too busy. Mary found time at the Saviour's feet to listen to his word, to draw from his word, to speak to him, to commune with him. Some can be too comfortable. Remember the church at Laodicea, Revelation chapter 3. They'd fallen into a bad state and spiritual condition. And you have a picture there of the Lord in verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. They had shut the Lord Jesus Christ out of their lives. He had come knocking upon their lives, seeking fellowship and communion. But wonder of all wonders, these professing believers had shut him out of their lives, and they were not in communion or fellowship with him. And the Lord had come along, knocking upon the door, "Let me in. Let me have fellowship with you." They no longer felt their need of Christ, as some believers do. They were making it their own way. They were not in communion. Christ longed for fellowship with them, but they went on without him, without fellowship. And I wonder this morning, as we come to the thought of no Christ in our lives, has God put his finger upon something in your life? This is a message for you. We know, of course, the world can be without him, but the Christian can also be without him, in the sense of having no communion, too busy, too comfortable, no time, no effort, no Christ in their lives. Still in Christ, but not really depending upon him, not really drawing from him, not really growing in him, in word, in the word and in prayer. And so, brother and sister, if you are in this careless condition, we would urge upon you today to consider your ways. No Christ in your life. What an awful thought. Without him, not in fellowship with him, not walking with him. No Christ in your life. But notice in the second place here, the thought of nothing done in our lives. And this, of course, comes with a surprise to us all, to a working congregation. Nothing done in our lives. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ makes it very clear in our text that without me ye can do nothing. No Christ in our lives means then nothing done in our lives for Christ. The world, of course, will argue that they have done a lot and do a lot. But we must remember this morning that without God we can do nothing. John is clear in the opening words of his gospel concerning Christ that without him nothing was made that was made, and therefore nothing has been done or ever will be done without Christ, without God. We are only instruments in the hands of God, and we will do nothing less or nothing more unless God allows us to do so. In him we live and move and have our being. He giveth to all life and breath and all things. We are dependent upon him, whether we want to realize this morning or not. We depend upon God. We can do nothing without him. All that we do in this world, my dear friend this morning, if it's just for the world, someday it will come to an end. Paul said to Timothy, "We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And so everything that we're working for and accumulating in this world, no matter how busy we might be, someday we're going to have to leave it behind us. We brought nothing in, we're going to bring nothing out." What we say to the world, We also say to every worldly Christian, just living for time. All that you do, sad to say, will be left behind, because nothing done for Christ will last without Him. He says, without me you can do nothing. Nothing that will last. If you're not abiding in Christ as we ought to, in union and communion with Him, then there will be no lasting fruit. Remember, He's chosen us in verse 18 that we should bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. He's speaking here about fruit which lasts in your life and forever. We've seen trees with branches doing nothing. I've seen them occasionally. Just like that fig tree that the Lord approached. It wasn't doing anything as far as fruit was concerned. It was fruitless. Oh, it looked all right. But there was no fruit upon it. There was something wrong somewhere with its branches. There was no fruit. Doing nothing. As far as a tree was concerned, doing nothing. And some Christians, you know, as far as Christianity is concerned, they're doing nothing. Doing nothing with their lives. No fruit in their lives. Active and successful as far as the world is concerned. But in the end, there's no fruit for their labors because they're not in close communion with the Lord. Not drawing from Him the strength to live for Him. Not producing anything for Christ in their lives. Just living for the world. Paul underlines this thought in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Here we leave the scene of the garden. We come on to the scene of the building site. Paul underlines the need for a good building program in our lives. At the end of verse 10, he says, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. He says, take heed how he buildeth. We have, brother and sister, taken heed as far as the foundation is concerned. We've laid the right foundation for our lives. We're in Christ. Our faith is in Christ for salvation. But then what about the rest of our lives? How are we living the rest of our lives? According to verse 12, we can use the wrong material. Wood. Hay. Stubble. They would never last in a building. You notice, in the end, the fire puts this material to the test. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And of course, the wood and the hay and the stubble will be burned up by the fire at the end of the day. I wonder today what sort of material we are using to build our lives upon and with. We can, of course, botch a building. We can try our best, but to no avail. Men try to build. They try to botch. They try to cover up. And they use the wrong material. And it's all lost, it's all wasted in the end. Building control, The authorities come on the scene and they condemn it because it'll never last. It may look good, but the wrong material has been used. It'll never last. It's a waste of time. It's all lost. And so, brother and sister, we need to be careful, not only in laying the foundation, but also in the building of the rest of our lives. We need to be careful to depend upon Christ every day. To look to Christ every day, each step of the way. Putting the right sort of material into our lives. Abiding in His Word and in prayer. In the closet, in the house of God, walking with Christ, walking in the Spirit, working in the Spirit, living in the Spirit. Without Him we can do nothing. Recognizing this, every day we open our eyes to recognize that today I can do nothing without Him. Without Christ, you can do nothing. There will be nothing to show for our lives if we have not walked with Him and lived in the Spirit. Nothing will come of those lives. So we ought to be careful in this matter that we might not waste our energies in the things of the world and worldly pursuits, but to look to Christ. And brother and sister, we urge this upon you, not to discourage you this morning, but to simply direct your eyes toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that not what the Lord is doing here in our text of Scripture? Without me, you can do nothing. I want you to look to me. I want you to depend upon me. I want you to commune with me and abide in me. This brings us to our closing thought, to the thought of needing Christ in our lives. This surely is the burden of our text. Lord Jesus Christ says to His disciples, without me you can do nothing. Therefore, we need Him. Needing Christ in our lives. Some try to live for God without Christ. But brother and sister, we are not fit to live for God, to serve God without Christ. The Lord said here to His disciples in the previous chapter that no man can come unto the Father but by me. If you want to be close to God, you can't be close to God without me. Because no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You can't be in fellowship with God without me. We need someone to go between. We need someone to bring us to God. We need someone to make us fit to live and to serve God. And it's only Christ can do that for you, believer. That's why you need Christ this day. That's why you need Christ every day of your life. The Laodiceans we mentioned in Revelation were not fit to live close to God or to serve God. They didn't realize it, but they were in too bad a shape to do anything. They were naked. They were miserable. They were wretched without Him. They could do nothing without Him. There He was, shut outside of their lives, seeking fellowship. They needed Him. They needed Christ in their lives. We need Christ in our lives. We need someone better. We need someone wiser. We need someone stronger. And we find this and more in Christ. We need Him in our lives. Such is the wickedness of our hearts. We need to come often to Christ for cleansing. We need Christ to deal with our sin. And John deals with this over in his first epistle. In the chapter 2. And this is what he has to say to his brethren and sisters. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is a propitiation for our sins, which simply means he turns away the wrath of God. If any man sin, we have an advocate. That is someone to act on our behalf. A go-between, a mediator, someone to bring us to God. It was Spurgeon commenting upon this text of Scripture. He says, it's a wonder when we sin that we have anyone to turn to. But when we sin, we have Christ to turn to. Always. Brother and sister, if you have sinned, you have someone you can turn to. Isn't that wonderful? Though everyone else should desert us, we have someone to turn to. We have someone to act on our behalf. Someone to stand up for us in the presence of God. Someone to step forth for us to plead his own perfect righteousness and his own cross work and his own precious blood to cleanse us from our sins. That's why he invites us in the previous words at the end of chapter 1 to come and confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to come to God through Christ, confessing our sins, seeking cleansing often. That is why we ought to be abiding in him, in communion with him every day. We need his cleansing. Look at the summary of our lives. The lives of those in Christ in 1 John 1 and verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. There's communion with Christ, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin and continues to cleanse us. Such is the summary of every life in Christ. I wonder this morning, brother and sister, perhaps you've grown careless. You're not in communion with God the way that you used to be. Perhaps even worse than this, you could say, well, there's really no Christ in my life. I just get on with my life just like the world. Tell me, what are you doing about your sin that is building up every day? Are you just hardening your heart? Are you just sweeping it under the carpet of excuses and perhaps more good works? How are we going to keep short accounts? How are you going to keep short accounts with God and live for God if you're not coming to him, seeking cleansing from him? The blood alone can purge our conscience, the Scripture says, from dead works, from fruitless activity, which plagues us. To serve the living God, you want to serve God, you want to engage in fruitful activity, then come often to Christ for cleansing. He will purge your conscience from those dead works and all that fruitless activity to serve the living God. If we sin, Thank God we have an advocate with the Father. He'll always step forward for you. Oh, that we might be found often in his presence, seeking his cleansing. That we might be fit for his service. Such is the wickedness of our hearts. We need Christ to cleanse us. And such is the waywardness of our lives. We need to come often to Christ to direct us. The Lord Jesus Christ said himself in John's Gospel, chapter 5 and verse 30, I can of mine own self do nothing. Aren't those shocking words? Here's the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and what does he say? I can of mine own self do nothing. And of course he is speaking here as a perfect servant. And he's our perfect example. And he says, I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. The Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect servant, our perfect example, he could do nothing in the sense that he couldn't take one step without the knowledge of his Father's will. And this is how he lived his life upon earth, and this is how we should live our lives upon this earth. And that is why Christ was found in the garden, seeking the Father's face, thy will be done. And that is why we need to be much seeking the face of the Lord. I can do nothing of myself. Lord, show me thy will. Give me direction today. We need to be like the Savior. Without him, we can do nothing. Such is the waywardness of our lives. We need to seek him often for direction. And there's one more thing. Such is the weakness of our spirit. We need to come often to Christ for strength. We need to seek the Lord for a daily supply of the Holy Spirit. Thank God Christ said that he would pray the Father and he would give you another comforter and he would abide with us forever. Paul got down on his knees in the prison. And he wrote to the Ephesians and he said, for this cause I bow my knees. And he started to pray for them. And we read there in Ephesians that there he prayed that they would be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And we need to pray this same prayer every day. Such is the weakness of our own spirit that we might know the strength of God's Spirit in our lives every day. We need Christ, brethren and sisters, in so many ways. Without him we can do nothing. We need to be looking to him every day. Are you looking to him every day? We need to be depending upon him, just as the branches depend upon the vine. To draw from him all that we need. We need to be found much in his presence, confessing our sins, seeking cleansing, seeking direction, seeking the Father's will, seeking the strength of his Spirit to serve the Lord. That is why it was Paul's testimony, for to me to live is Christ. I wonder, is that your testimony, believer? Mary was not too busy to sit at the Savior's feet. Daniel was a man of prayer. Daily he prayed 3 times. This was not just an order that he might tick a box and say, I've done it. Prayed in the morning, prayed in the afternoon, prayed in the evening, ticked all the boxes. No, Daniel needed Christ in his life. He needed his cleansing. He needed his direction. He needed his strength. And brother and sister, we will never achieve anything in our lives that will last unless we have the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives every day. Without Him, we can do nothing. And so we would urge you, brother, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't shut Him out of your life as the Laodiceans did. Don't be too busy. Don't be too comfortable. Seek the Lord. We need Him. Thank God He's promised to be with us all of the time. Oh, that we might pray to this end, that we might abide in Him every day, that the Lord might be with us. Remember, brother and sister, without Him, we can do nothing. Let us close with a singing of 437, "Where He May Lead Me, I Will Go, For I Have Learned to Trust Him So." We'll stand as we sing hymn number 437. Heavenly Father, we commit ourselves and our lives into Thy hands. We pray that Thou wilt speak on to our hearts. We pray that Thou wilt write Thy word upon our hearts. Help us, Lord, to remember the Lord Jesus Christ, not to take one step without Him. We pray that there will be none going from this place today without Christ. We pray that Thou wilt work in hearts. Thou wilt bless us until we meet again. We ask Thee in Jesus' name. Amen.